Michael Sebastian, and I've been spending the last few years of my life learning how to dress.
And I'm David Mintz, and I've been teaching Michael how to do it.
Some guys seem to dress well without any effort at all. Why? Because they know the rules. But we're going to share their secrets with you. Hello, and welcome on our quest to be better dressed. As you know by now, we're letting you in on the secrets of classic English tailoring and how you can become the smartest guy in the room, literally. Today, we're going to follow the clues and we're going to learn how to read all those tiny details in an outfit that you need to get right. And as usual, the sartorial Sherlock to my bumbling Watson is my good friend and good tailor, David, from Brown in Town. But before we start, we do have a question about trousers, as you do on this show, sent in on Instagram. And this is from Steve in the UK.
Hello, savvy dressers. Love the show. I have a question. Do you wear your trousers with turn-ups or without? How do you decide?
Good question, Steve. Good question. Me personally, depends on the trousers. So, for example, in my tailored beach pants or baggy chinos, I wear a 3.5 centimetre hem at the bottom, which I like to turn up and over and over and over and roll them up till they're quite short. And I will vary the length of them based on the shoes that I'm wearing, whether that is a deck shoe, sans sock, or a pair of sneakers with a colourful sock, or a pair of derby shoes. It will depend. Most of my tailored trousers have turn-ups tailored in, which are 1 3/4 inches high. I can't think of a pair of trousers that I am currently rotating, Steve, that doesn't have a turn-up on. So for me, it's definitely a yes. With regards to our customers, it really does depend on the personal preference of the wearer.
That's what, Michael? I was going to ask. Yeah, is this a personal preference?
Very.
Really? Okay.
Very.
So there's no rule that says you absolutely have to.
Absolutely not.
If you're 6'2", you definitely must have them doubled.
That's something else. They used to say, did they not, that men of a certain height used to wear turn-ups to anchor their trousers to their shoes.
Yes.
And I think this dates back to a time when trousers were voluminous. They were high-waisted, so worn at the navel, and they were broad all the way down the leg. And the width of the hem from heel to front edge was almost as wide as your shoes.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of cloth to flap about. Maybe they did need a turn-up to anchor it to their shoes, but I would imagine the weight of the cloth then, which would have been 14 to 18 ounces, because lighter weights came in at sort of halfway through the last century, you wouldn't have needed to weight them down, would you? Maybe you did.
They do say, don't they, that for the shorter man, which I proudly am, that keeping a clean line all the way down the leg adds that little bit of impression of height.
Vertical lines.
But I am a big fan of turn-ups. I mean, it's got to be a personal choice, hasn't it?
The answer to your question, Steve, is horses for courses, and also it's style dependent, depending on the style of trousers and the style that you want to adopt for that day, that outfit.
So there you go. That's the lowdown on turn-ups. And if you have a question, do what Steve did and send it to us as a voice message on Instagram. And if we can, we'll add it into the show. Tailoring isn't only about putting on better clothes, but putting on confidence and authority. Now, one of the ways you can get there is to consistently take charge of details that would otherwise let you down. And in many areas of life, very often it's the tiny details that speak the loudest. And by knowing them, you can remove anything that is inconsistent with the idea about yourself that you're trying to get across. Now, we've all heard about speed reading a person. Well, you can speed read what they're wearing too. So what kind of details do I mean? Well, take those four little buttons on the end of your jacket sleeve. When you're buying ready-to-wear, very often they'll just be tacked on, which always struck me as a bit odd, even before I was a savvy dresser. Like, why do they even do that? It's like being a pearly king who can't afford the pearly bit, but could just about run to four buttons on his sleeve. These cuffs are known as surgeon's cuffs, and the story is that on the battlefield, a surgeon had to roll up his sleeves to do the business. They're also known as working cuffs, and the point is, they should work. Nowadays, working cuffs tend to be associated with higher quality jackets, and though that's not always true, sew-on buttons definitely aren't. And a savvy dresser can spot them a mile off. So today, since we're talking about tailoring tells, let's let a tailor tell us how to iron out all those little problems. What are we looking for, David?
Does the collar of his jacket fit in to the nape of his neck? Because unless he is wearing the collar into the nape of his neck, the rest of the jacket will not fit him as it should. The armholes will not be in the right position, and therefore his shoulders or deltoids will not be in the centre of the armhole. The button at the front of the coat, jacket, blazer will not be in the right position. It will be riding up instead of riding down, etc.
So everything starts with the back of the neck, the spine. If you get that right, everything follows.
Sure. You have to pull your jacket via the lapels at the front into the nape of your neck. First thing.
Okay, right.
Then width of shoulders. Is the jacket the same width as the person across the top? Mm-hmm. Do their shoulders protrude beyond the shoulders of the jacket? Do their cannonball-like Daniel Craig as Bond deltoids poke out through the sleeve head? I appreciate it's now a style for a young man, but it's not savvy dressing. Then I would be looking at the length of the jacket, the back length. Is it too long? Does it come way below their seat? Is it too short? Is it what's known in the tailoring trade as a bum freezer? Does their bottom stick out the bottom of the hem of the jacket? I cut sports jackets a little shorter, not too short, but a little shorter. Because of proportion and balance.
It's all about harmony again, like we mentioned before, isn't it?
Yeah, the harmony. It's proportion and balance. Then I would be looking probably at sleeves. Do their sleeves overshoot their shirt sleeves?
Yes.
Are they shooting cuff?
They're shooting cuff.
Yes.
Sounds like something you do in open season. I say, let's go and bag some cuff. But it's not that. It's a protrudence, isn't it? It's how much your shirt sleeve sticks out from your jacket.
Yeah, certainly in traditional English tailoring and classical style, the shirt is the fullness of one's sleeve, not the coat or jacket sleeve.
And that gives you a little strip of colour at the wrist, which finishes the sleeve off quite elegantly, doesn't it?
Sure. So the jacket sleeve would generally be cut or would finish at the anatomical snuff box, which is just about the top of your thumb, where there is that little dimple in there. That's where your jacket stops. And then you would have a border of shirt cuff to the tune of about half an inch, maybe three quarters if you're feeling flamboyant. And then I would have to cite what I find most frustrating when I'm in the West End of London and you have all of those, I don't want to say legal beagles.
City boys.
The city slickers. And they are in their two-tone blue mohair or otherwise suits. And they are certainly old enough to know better. And they're certainly earning enough to invest better. And they have a jacket on that is so tight at the fulcrum button, which is always fastened. Yes. And you would think, if it's that tight, don't fasten it. But they insist on fastening it. But the button has ridden up over their paunch. And there's nothing wrong with a paunch.
If the jacket's tailored to accommodate that, yeah.
These guys are buying off the peg. It fits across the shoulders, possibly the chest. The waist, not a chance. And the fulcrum button rides up over the top, which brings up with it the front of the jacket so that the hem at the front is now riding up and above the back of the jacket, whereas it should be a little lower. Yeah, if you're looking at a jacket from the side. So.
And another tell is that when a jacket's fastened, but you get these horizontal lines spreading out from the button.
Yes, like cat's whiskers. Yes.
And they look a bit awkward, don't they?
Indeed.
I'm assuming they shouldn't be there.
Never.
So no lines at all. It's not a thing.
It has become a thing for the Daniel Craig spray-on Bond suit wearers, but it's not a thing where classical style is concerned or savvy dressing is concerned. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to get a ready-to-wear jacket to accommodate one's tum, but the thing to do would be a jacket that fits your waist and then have the rest of it tailored in to fit your shoulders and your chest and your seat. That's where I would start.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've always wondered what's going on in their heads. Like it's supposed to accentuate the chest like a tight t-shirt would, you know, like look what my pecs are doing to this jacket, I'm busting out. What is the psychology, you know, what is going on there, do you think?
Michael, I think it's denial. It's either denial or they have been caught short because they haven't worn a suit, haven't worn their dinner suit, haven't worn a jacket. And then all of a sudden the invitation comes and they have to.
Yes.
And they pull it out on the morning of thinking, I've got this covered. Oh dear, it's a bit snug.
Yeah.
Referred to previous
point.
Not quite
covered enough, actually.
Not covered enough. Yeah. So just uncover it. Yeah. The obvious answer is unbuttoned. Don't fasten the jacket. Yeah. And if you are embarrassed by your tum, because perhaps the tum is straining at the buttons in your shirt, then for goodness sake, wear a sweater, which will stretch and cover with ease and with style and panache your tum. Then put the blazer over the top, but don't fasten it.
Absolutely. And on that, fastening or not fastening, generally when you sit down, you're going to unfasten. If you're having dinner with somebody or you're sitting down, you're going to unfasten the button for sitting.
Generally speaking. But there is an old school that believes that it should still be fastened.
Really?
And that's fair enough. And I have always cut my coats, jackets, blazers to be able to be fastened when seated.
Okay.
Yeah, that was sartorial etiquette.
Yeah, formality.
Absolutely.
Really uncomfortable.
But most, well, certainly when I was growing up, it was understood that you would fasten your button when you stood up and you would unfasten the jacket button when you sat down to take a seat.
And flies always up.
Flies always up.
Excellent. I'm glad we've clarified that.
Never down, unless, of course, you're no longer in the room where you are not being judged by us.
And flies are a perfect segue into trousers. Entry point, I suppose.
What's important about having your flies done up? If you don't do up your flies, you will have either too much drape in the seat or maybe not enough. But unless they're fastened at the centre or fastened at the front and centre, as it were, how will you know if the seat fits? So trousers being too tight at the seat, classic.
Right.
Telltale sign. And I'll tell you why they are often too tight. Trousers are sold by waist size. They are not sold by hip size. Mm-hmm. Most guys wouldn't know what their hip size was. Okay. Even in some tailoring houses that I've worked with, makers, cutters, white labels, the hip is not a given measurement. A waist is a point-to-point measurement, like the inside leg, the outside leg, and the ankle. But the hip is what's known as a trunk measurement.
Okay.
You know, you put the tape horizontally around the trunk, being your hip or your seat. Yeah. And then you're adding a tolerance to that to make it wrap around the body. There are various trunk measurements, and there are various point-to-point measurements. But where trousers are concerned, you are buying your trousers off the peg anyways, by your waist size. Speaks of nothing as to what the hip will be. Generally, the hip will be a few inches bigger than the waist, generally speaking. And for most guys, that will be the case. But it doesn't always accommodate healthy glutes.
Yeah.
Or indeed, hams below the glutes. You know? Yeah. So my advice would be, buy your trousers. This is if you're buying them off the peg. If you're having them made for you, well, then every measurement, again, will be independent of the other. So you don't have to worry about it. But if you're buying trousers off the peg, buy the hip size that fits properly. And that does not mean sticking to your buns. It means draping over your buns, slipping over your buns, and affording the trousers the ability to drape down your trouser legs and reach your feet. Then you have the trouser waist taken in, because invariably, if you've bought it to fit your healthy glutes, the waist will be massive.
Yeah.
Have a seamstress or a seamster take in the waistband so that it fits you now on the waist and comfortably, easily, stylishly on the seat or the hip. Then after you've got that much, it's just the trouser length.
I think that's a really interesting way of approaching it. And it would mean that way you could get your waist perfect, not have to live with half an inch out. Much better. Well, we are half an inch away from the end of this episode. We will deal with shoes in their own episode. And next time we'll be journeying on through the sartorial landscape. Join us then. So until then, please rate us, review us, give us 5 stars on Apple. That will be dandy. Links are in the show notes. We are at savvydressers.com. And if you've got a question, send it as a voice message on Instagram at savvydressers. Till next time, stay safe and dress well.